Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. This is an exciting day. I am so happy. I have one of my favorite authors in the world on the program today. Kathy Ace. Well, she's the ace of hearts to me. Hi, Kathy.
Hello, good morning. What a lovely introduction. Thank you, Patsy.
Just to hear your voice makes me happy. And you are so delightful. I want to say something. This is so wonderful. When I saw book 12 in your Kate Morgan mystery series, and the title is The Corpse with the Turquoise Toes.
It is.
Isn't
that a puzzling title?
What does it mean,
I wonder?
I don't know. The lovely thing about it is that the cover is so gorgeous. I mean, you want to make a poster of it and put it in your kitchen and look at it every morning.
Oh, I'm so pleased you like it. You know, I must admit, it's very much a sky movement photograph. And I've been into bookstores and seen it on the shelves, and oh my word, it pops. I'm so thrilled with how it works to attract people's attention. Because, of course, that's what every writer wants to do, is attract people's attention to their book. So I think it's doing a good job on that. And if I'm feeling a bit down, all I need to look at is that cover, and it lifts my spirit.
Absolutely. And I've had it, and I look at it, and I love it. And I really would. If you put it on your website and you make a poster out of it, I bet you could sell that.
Oh, do you know what? I might do that, but I'd rather sell the book.
Well, yes, of course. But, you know, it's a great way for people to remember you. And I want to tell people that not only is the cover great, once you meet Kathy Ace anywhere, at a writer's event, wherever she goes, these colors, you know, in this cover are you, because you shine. You are so vibrant. I just loved when we met here at the Vinoy Hotel for BoucherCon. My goodness, it seems, so long ago.
But it feels like such a long time ago, doesn't it? I can't believe it, actually.
I know. And there you were. You were the most colorful.
Dressed colorfully there.
But you stood out from everybody else, I'm telling you. And same wherever I've seen you. You always stand out, which, as you said, you want people to notice the cover of your book, but you also want people to notice you and remember you.
There is that. However, what I will say is, it's lovely of you to call me the Ace of Hearts. I think that's probably because I'm a bit too old now to be the Queen of Clubs. But I've always dressed the way I've dressed. And I think the interesting thing is, I really pick things up wherever I travel, and I do travel a great deal, as does Kate Morgan. So I've ended up with a fairly eclectic collection of what I call over thingies, which means that as I age and my shape and so forth, all I need to keep doing is replacing the standard under thingies, because the over thingies go with anything.
Oh, you're so cute. You're adorable. Well, what did you pick up? You were just over on the other side of the pond. What was happening over there?
Well, yes, I don't know if people know, but what they're hearing is a Welsh accent here. Although I live in Canada now, and I'm on the West Coast, so you're getting my deep and sultry voice because it's 8 o'clock in the morning. But I was in Wales. My family is still in Wales. I'm from Wales. My husband's from Wales. His family's still in Wales. And I should have been there a couple of years ago to celebrate a significant birthday. But, of course, that was put on pause for a couple of years. But I was very fortunate to get back to be with my mum and my sister and my husband and his brother and my sister-in-law, all for my birthday in May. So we had a birthday celebration, and I got to spend a couple of weeks of true quality time with my mum, having not seen her for a few years. So it was just a wonderful visit, and I did, you're quite right, pick up a couple of over thingies that have a slight Celtic flavour to them, but I think they'll fit nicely into the offerings that I've got for all of the future events. But fingers crossed, will happen, and I'll be able to attend.
I hope that we can start attending more events again. The last BoucherCon I did was the one in Dallas.
Yeah. Well, we didn't know it was the last one, but we had a heck of a time there, didn't we?
Oh, we did.
I I just did attend my first in-person event, which was Crime Fest in Bristol in England while I was over in the UK in May. And that was a sort of almost a metaphysical experience, really, because I kept seeing people I hadn't seen for 3 years. And, you know, I'll just tell you this and hope nobody's listening. It's amazing how they've aged, and I haven't changed a bit.
So tell us about this event. I love Bristol, by the way.
Yes, Bristol is a beautiful city. And there is, in the US, there's a Left Coast Crime that's held every year. It's occasionally held in Canada because we also have a Left Coast, of course. And in fact, I was honored to be Toastmaster there when it was held in Vancouver. But about, I think it's about 11 or 12 years ago now, sorry, COVID gap in my knowledge there, it was held in the UK, and from then on, a sort of a sister festival has grown up, which is Crime Fest, which has been held in Bristol every year, and it's the largest convention of its type in the UK, on the standard convention model, lots of panels running multi-track at the same time, like a small version of BoucherCon, but with a distinctly British and European flavour. We're very fortunate to get writers from across the world. I mean, I was there from Canada. I was on a panel with Andrew Child, who was one of my favorite authors, now doing a great job with his brother, and Felix Francis, incredibly English writer, although, of course, his famous father, Dick Francis, was in fact born in Wales and raised there. I should mention that, I suppose. But it's a very eclectic gathering, and it was just a smashing time to see familiar faces, albeit we've all got a few wrinkles more. What the heck? We still managed to hug and have a great time. But it was a bit weird, and when it was over, it was almost as though I dreamt it, because I'd been wanting it to happen, and it hadn't happened for so long. But it happened in person, which was great, whereas the Crime Cymru Festival ended up taking place online. It should have been a gathering in Aberystwyth in May, but we had to make a decision in February about doing it in person or face-to-face because of planning, and the decision at that time was to do it online, which actually has a great thing as a hangover, which is people can still enjoy that festival online because it was all recorded on YouTube and it's free. And our aim is to get the word out about Welsh crime writers to the world. So all folks have to do is go along to the Crime Cymru website, which is CrimeCymru website, and you can link there to the festival free online.
Okay, well, that's a good idea. But still, to have the festival where you have real people.
I know. Yeah. It's different. And the plan is that in Aberystwyth next year, it will be an in-person festival, which will make a real difference to everybody, you know? The hugging alone, Patsy, you know I'm a big hugger.
I know.
The hugging alone is lovely. Even if you're masked when you do it, have a hug.
Well, definitely. And if you're sitting next to Andrew Grant, or Drew as I call him, you want a hug.
Yes. Yes, he's such a lovely chap, isn't he?
Oh, he is.
And as is his brother. And, you know, as brothers go, I think they get on very well. And thank goodness they write so well together, because I did not want to see Jack Reacher disappear, nor do any of us, except at the end of the book where he gets on a bus and leaves town because he's sorted everything out. But otherwise, I need him in my life, yes.
Yes, you're right. And so it's fun, actually, to see how Drew has done this, melding together Andrew Grant, Andrew Child persona now, and having fun with the Jack Reacher, because as you said, we all need Jack Reacher. We love to have him come to town and fix things. In my little hometown in northern Michigan, I keep praying that Jack Reacher would come there and fix that town, because we got some problems.
Oh, heck, it sounds like an interesting place to have left. Possibly the best movie.
Well, of course, you've won awards, and you've been nominated for so many awards, and you've accomplished so much. But what really impressed me was that one of your stories was chosen for the O-levels. Explain that. How did that happen, and what did you feel like?
Well, the feeling was extraordinary and full of disbelief, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, it's going back a bit now, but for those who might not know, O-levels are the exams that all British children take or used to take. They're now called the GCSEs at 16 years of age in the UK. And as such, they have a syllabus they have to follow. And of course, when you're in school, you reckon that everything on the syllabus is the most boring thing you've ever been forced to read in your entire life. So as part of a movement to make books a bit more interesting, this collection of short stories called Thrillers was introduced to the syllabus. And the short stories in there were by Peter Lovesey, Elizabeth Ferrers, Marjorie Allingham, Ruth Rendell, Dick Francis, and Ray Bradbury. And me. I was the only person I'd never heard of. It was an extraordinary feeling. And the short story was a short story called Dear George, and it really is what began my career. I mean, you can't make one career out of a short story, but that gave me a boost. And then that short story was picked up by the wonderful actor Martin Jarvis to be produced for a BBC Radio 4 afternoon programme. And that was broadcast, and it was my mum and my dad. I mean, they were pretty much exploding with pride back in Wales, and my husband and I were listening here in Canada. And sadly, shortly thereafter, my dad passed away. But that was the spur, I suppose, I needed to say, you know, if you're going to write fiction, you've got this nugget of success. Do something with it, take it forward, and do what you can with it. And that's what the last 10 years have really sprung from, is me, yeah, let's be honest, trying to make my mum and dad proud as possible of their daughter, by doing something that I'm actually loving every minute of, I'm pleased to say. So from that one small story have come, well, I'm currently writing my 20th book, 18th novel, and yeah, I couldn't be happier, actually.
Well, I got such a kick out of that, first because of the name of the story, Dear George.
That's it, yes.
And George is my favorite name. I name everything George. I have a 12-foot giraffe outside my front door, and his name is George. And every morning I say good morning to him. When I was a kid, I named everything George. Didn't matter. I named girl dolls George. I named my dog George. Everything was George. And my car, my first car was George.
Well, of course it was. Well, yes. Look, in that case, I'll apologize to you personally, Patsy, for messing with the name George in your head and everybody else's.
No, I love it. It's a beautiful story. It's wonderful. And I'm sure you're knowing how happy it to be selected, and as you said, among this group of authors, to have your story selected, and then to know all those kids are reading it, at least, you know, that's not bad.
Yes, yes, I'm now on the list of the most hated authors, no doubt.
No.
That's what happens with set books, isn't it?
No, but I'm sure they enjoyed that story. And
you know what, for me, a great deal of joy has come from it anyway, because of pushing forward with the writing, and so I'm very grateful, incredibly grateful for that, and I'm so pleased my dad was around to know about that part of it, at least. And now my mum gets to read all of my books pretty much first, and reads them many times over. She's reached the age now where she can get to the end of a series and then go back to the beginning, because she's forgotten quite a bit of it. So she's happy about that, and so am I.
Of course, I love all your books. This morning, just to double check, because I really almost, you're almost a full shelf now. I have like 3,000 books, but there is a shelf now devoted to you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love him. But my favorite one that really started me off reading was The Case of the Dottie Dowager.
Oh, I'm glad you like that one.
When I saw the title, I immediately thought of Lord Peter Wimsey's mother, the Dowager Duchess of Denver. And so I had to read that book.
Well, I'm very pleased you enjoyed it. That's the Wise Inquiries Agency series, which features my lovely quartet of female detectives. One is Welsh, one is Irish, one is Scottish, one is English, W-I-S-E. And whilst they are aided and abetted, or maybe hindered, by the Dowager Duchess Althea in their investigations, I do like to see the way that four women are able to work together using each of their strengths to build a better team than even each of the individuals are. And I like the dynamic of four women working together and supporting each other and getting on with running a business that's relatively successful.
They are delightful stories. I really enjoy, I think there are four in that series, right?
Well, Patsy, I can give you breaking news. Are you ready?
Yes.
I'm writing the fifth at the moment.
Goody, goody. Oh, that's great.
There's a new book coming, and I can share with you the title of it. Would you like to know what it's called?
Oh, yes.
The Case of the Disgraced Duke.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Oh, this is fantastic. This is breaking news on Joy on Paper.
I love that voice. Fantastic. The newspapers swirling around as they come off the presses in my head when you say that.
We are all going to be looking forward to that one. But my goodness, you now have a dozen of the Kate Morgan. Wow. Well, why don't you tell us?
I've rather given her my attention in the past during lockdown, actually. Four books in that series have come out through lockdown because of the television deal, because I know they want more and more and more titles to make into television programs.
Yeah, I know.
I did feel a little bit of pressure on that front.
So tell us a little bit about the television program, because from the very beginning, it always happens with me when I read a book and I see it in my head. You know, I see it as a film in my head. Gives me such a kick, you know, because I've worked in Hollywood. And so when I read a book and it turns into a film in my head, and by the end of the book, I'm almost surprised I'm reading a book.
Do you know, Patsy, honestly, that is the biggest compliment you could have given me. And I'll tell you why. When I'm plotting a book, I do it in my head. And I invent the book like a film, like a movie, moving forward in my head, scene by scene, character by character, until I've got the whole film in my head. Then I do my outlines, my plot details, my research. Then I write the book. And I see my job as being getting the film that was in my head onto the paper without the words getting in the way. And I hope that when people read my books, they feel as though they've experienced them rather than having necessarily read them. But that said, yes, when I see the film in my head, have I got actual people in my mind's eye? And Kate Morgan, well, look, she's Welsh, Canadian, you know, Welsh like me, moved to Canada like me. She's short like me. She likes her food like me. She's a bit bossy like me. She dresses believing that the fashion police shouldn't exist like me. So she's a bit like me. And I really hadn't envisaged a particular actor in her role. But now that we're at the casting stage for the 2-hour movie they're going to be making of the first book, The Corpse with the Silver Sun, I've really got to think about who it should be. And I would love to tell you what our conversations have revolved around and who's been approached, but I can't, I'm sorry, because you with a Hollywood background know that there comes a point where you just have to shut your gob and wait until there are official announcements about things. And I can't say anything other than we have a script. I'm delighted with it. It's been through me a couple of times and the production company. Very, very happy with the way that the distillation of Kate's character and Bud's character are shown within the script. But more than that, I can't say. I'm so sorry.
Oh, but
very exciting.
Once they let you talk about it, then you'll come back and tell us more about it, because this is such an exciting process that you've come out with this wonderful series with a brilliant idea, a wonderful character, and then to get it optioned and then to get it now actually going into production is so exciting.
It is, but it's a long road.
You really came out with a series here that people are going to enjoy so much, a character that people are going to enjoy. And all of your stories, you have a freshness to them. I love the titles, like Sapphire Eyes, Garnet Face was one. And which one was it? The Crystal Skull. I love that book.
Oh, you like a bit of Jamaica. I mean, because each book is set in a different country or location, I think people enjoy them because, well, let's be honest, especially through lockdown, what a great way to travel. Sitting at home, each book is in a different place and you get to solve a puzzling mystery, right? Crystal Skull is set in Jamaica. There's a lot of, like, Ian Fleming stuff, the connection with Captain Henry Morgan, of course, who's Welsh and shares a name with Kate. But I was actually finishing that book, sitting on a cruise ship in the Caribbean, when lockdown happened. So I was one of the people hightailing back to Canada at the very last moment, touching my throat and slapping a mask on my face and thinking, oh, will this book ever get published? It took a little while, but it did come out. And I'm so pleased you enjoyed it, because I really did enjoy writing that and bringing my love of Caribbean life, and particularly like the history of Jamaica, to readers around the world.
I will tell you one of the reasons I recall that is it did come out during this whole pandemic-y thing. For a long time, they had closed our pool. They just wouldn't let anyone in the pool. But you could take your chair and move it far away from everybody else. And so I read that actually by my pool. I will say I indulged in a rum drink.
Good for you.
Well, I tend to do that.
Oh, my word. Well, be careful if ever you're reading the second in the series then, because what I did in that book, which is set in Vineyard in British Columbia, I titled every chapter with what Kate drank in that chapter. So one of the chapters is called The Flight of Reds. So please be careful with that one. It's definitely a drink along a book, that one.
So I get really into these characters.
Well, good for you. I mean, in my defense, I will say one of the chapters in that book is titled Kopi Luwak. So you could really treat yourself to a very fancy coffee there. But I think one of the chapters is also called Listerine and Cup of Soup. So, you know, there are different things that she drinks.
Well, one of the nice things about them filming your series is that the action takes place in different places. So you have a lot of location shooting.
Yes. The first book is set in the south of France. The Corpse with the Silver Tongue features on a gentleman who's moved from the UK to the south of France. And it therefore allows for wonderful vistas and location shooting. And there's a backstory going on around Vancouver in Canada. So I'm delighted that the plan is that the shooting will take place in both true, real locations. And that is the plan for the whole series going forward, which does present some challenges, particularly in the world as it is these days. But I think those are surmountable challenges, given that a world now where so many people want what they call a global product in television terms, that they are likely to be able to film everywhere each book is set, which is, you know, as far afield as, well, Mexico, Jamaica, Budapest, Amsterdam, Wales, Vegas, the Pacific coast of Mexico. So the books get about, and the plan is that the series will be shot in true locations.
You're not doing the script yourself, right?
I didn't want to. Having seen the wonderful job the screenwriter did, I'm so pleased I didn't. The way that he's distilled a whole book into what will be 2 hours of viewing is a skill set I just don't possess. I couldn't have ripped my work apart and put it back together again with the alacrity that he's shown. It's the essence of everything is there, but it's been trimmed down to make it even more cinematographically acceptable. And I could not have done that, I don't think.
It's very difficult for an author to do that. I had several assignments where I had to take a book and do exactly that, turn it into a script. And one author came to me and said, I think you only used 120 words from my book. I said, yeah, but those were the most important words.
Oh, gosh. Well, it's interesting. The plan was for this, what will be a pilot, to be 90 minutes. But as they were working on it, they decided to go up to a 2-hour format, for which I'm very grateful, because I do think you're able to get much more meat out of a book into 2 hours. And the Kate Morgan mysteries are relatively complex. There are more layers than might initially be obvious in them. And I didn't want any of those key points to be lost working through. And none of them have been. They're all in there. I'm absolutely thrilled about that.
That's true. I was going to mention that. Your books, why I enjoy your books so much and why we have this shelf lined with your books, there's depth to them. Your characters have depth. The stories all have depth. Where does that come from? How hard have you worked on making sure that not just the main character is, you know, has a backstory? How do you work on that? How do you come out with these character ideas?
Well, I'm a bit OCD when it comes to plotting. So once I've come to that point in my head where I've seen the film from beginning to end, I then sit down and start making notes. And all of the, because Kate and Bud are the only characters who are in each book. There are recurring characters in some books, but essentially there's a fresh cast of characters each time we meet them. I want to make sure that those characters are as real to the reader as they are to me. So I sit down and do a whole biography of each of those supplementary characters, right to the point of where their parents might have come from, where they're likely to have gone to school. Because Kate is a psychologist, and because all of these puzzles are solved by understanding the psychology of the criminal mind, I need the psychology of each of those supplementary characters to have some truth in it, enough truth in it that the book makes sense. And I also need to write a whole bunch of likable characters. What I want my characters to be is relatable. We've all known people who are wonderful on the outside and then you bite into them and they melt away and they're disgusting. Or we'll meet people who've got a bit of a hard shell and we get to know them a bit and we realise that that shell's been built up over years to protect an essentially soft centre. We all, as readers and people who live fascinating lives ourselves, know how the external aspect of a person can differ to the internal aspect. So unless I, as an author, have gone to the internal aspect, I would otherwise end up just showing the reader the external aspect. And that's not what I want to do. I want the reader to crunch into that character and find out the truth of them, along with Kate and Bud as they investigate. So I do put a lot of effort into those supplementary characters in terms of developing them and then hoping they come across on the page.
Well, they do. None of your characters in your books ever come away as throwaways. All of your characters have this depth and this layers, which is why you are such a great writer.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I'm going to go through the day on a little cloud of happiness now. Thank you very much. And that's going to help me with my writing today. Thank you very much indeed, because I'm plodding through this. I'm on a very tight deadline for this book. And I knew that I wanted to introduce a particular pair of characters. I'm not going to say too much, but I've been struggling with how to make a pair of siblings similar but different. And because I was up early drinking a lot of coffee before speaking to you this morning, a penny dropped. And I've come up with a way of doing it, I think, that will work for the reader. So not only has speaking to you helped, but getting ready to speak to you has helped already.
Well, I am so happy. Well, you know, I think it's just wonderful that you're going to be doing this series because I want people to read your books. I love your books. They are always a great read, a great see. You know, you see it in your head. You're going to have lots of fun going around to the shoots. When you're ready to shoot in Hungary, that's a corpse with the ruby lips. Maybe I'll join you and we can meet over in Hungary. How about that? For goulash.
Oh, it's a fabulous place, isn't it?
Isn't it? I love it. I just want to go back to Hungary.
Yeah, I was very lucky to spend as much time there as I did. And that's the great thing. You know, I've spent a professional life traveling the world for work, working places, staying places for a long time. And now I'm able to take readers there. So, yes, Budapest is a magical, almost like it's from a fairy tale. It's hard to believe it's real in many ways. And that's the Budapest that Kate gets to see. There we are.
When you're ready to shoot that one, you tell me, and we'll meet over there together and watch them film it.
Stand by the river and sing the Blue Danube at it.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, Kathy, I just want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper, because you are a joy. You bring a lot of joy to all of your readers, and I know when you're ready to announce it, when you're ready for the release, will you come back here and tell my listeners?
I will indeed.
Because
you yourself are a joy, absolutely. A joy on paper and a joy on the airwaves.
Well, thank you, Kathy. I'm just really so grateful to you. Okay, well, I want to thank you again. Kathy Ace, real easy to find her. You know, that's an easy name. And the new book is The Corpse with the Turquoise Toes. The cover is beautiful. I love it. And, of course, this one takes place actually in America. So
it does. It does.
Everybody get this book. It's a lot of fun.
Thank you very much for having me, Patsy.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
All right. She is lovely. And that's Kathy with a C, the proper British way. Bye-bye now.